the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now to the director's report. Yeah, okay. Okay. We have a little bit to cover, so I'll try to make it as quick as we can here. Nicole was not able to be with us tonight. She's a little under the weather, so we asked her to stay home so she didn't share her weather with the rest of us. So. But she sent me a lot of some notes of some things that she was going to present, so I'm going to see if I can do her justice going through and talking about some of the items that she pulled together for us here. So one of the things that we were really focusing on as part of our WASC goals as well, she works closely with the career guidance specialist to focus on our pathway completion numbers for our kiddos. So looks like we're going to be at 585 this year for pathway completers. So that's up a little bit from last year. Last year, I don't know if you remember or not, but we had a true number of 376, but then we had several classes of kiddos that got some different messages from some staff and some other folks at the school that we didn't have all the classes weren't lined up, and the kids said, well, I took two classes, I should be a completer. No, I'm sorry, they were not, you know, technically in order and all that stuff. So we've cleaned all of that stuff up, but that's why there's a pretty significant jump. And last year's number, including those kiddos, was around 500 as well. So, but this is a true, good, solid, cleaned up number. We worked with TIS to get the data polls correct, and we were able to increase.
Please pass on to her. It is dazzling to sit at Senior Awards. They keep coming and coming, mm-hmm. the pathway completers. So I did 3 Senior Awards, San Juan, Dana Hills, and San Clemente. And I've forgotten, right, how the program has grown, yeah. and the completers. And it was outrageous. It did take a long time,
yeah.
It was really exceptional. Yeah. So please
awesome.
Pass that on.
Yeah,
that's incredible, the more it scales up.
And yep. we got to watch them at graduation.
Yeah.
So it was really nice to see the chords yep. coming
yeah.
through while we were sitting at Nicole's daughter's
yeah,
graduation.
Nicole's daughter graduated
and we were watching them.
Year.
Look at Nicole's like, look at all our chords going through. Yeah. So it was nice.
Yeah. They're after the chords. We get more calls about those yeah. chords at the end of the year than just about anything. Because if they feel like they're a completer and they didn't get a chord, then
yeah.
they're on the phone right
it's
away.
Good
yeah, for
watch.
Sure. So that in total, that's a 64% increase of true completer numbers from last year to this year. So that's pretty significant. Our CGSs, we had them at all the middle schools for transition activities this year for registration. So they all spent a lot of time at their individual middle schools. They also spent some time at the elementary schools. They had career days and things like that. So we were able to go and represent CTE at the elementary level as well using our guidance specialists. Let's see, we had our ambassadors, as we've talked about. We've got the program running to support our ICANN program. So we had, she told me it was 8 kids that schedules worked out to be able to do that. So we had 8 kiddos this year in our first year that went down to the elementary school and supported the ICANN program. So I know that was part of the application process for this coming year's CT ambassadors. So we should have an increased number of students that can manipulate their schedules to make sure that they can be a part of that program as well, to go down to the elementary schools and support that ICANN program. Just as a recap, I know you guys have heard about it, and Amy, you were there at the career fair. So that was another piece that was heavily under Nicole's guidance. Roughly 2,000 kiddos. We didn't have a clicker at the door. That was an afterthought. We should have done that. We didn't. But it was full, stem to stern. It didn't start thinning out at the end of the night until about 25 minutes to close. So even with the rain that happened, we thought, oh, we're dead. It rained like 20 minutes before the event. We thought nobody's going to come out in the rain. And sure enough, they all did. So it was really, really well attended. And again, our business partners that were there were all really happy. Everybody was just blown away with the questions kids were asking, the number of kids that were coming around. Several of them expressed that, yeah, we found a couple of employees. I found a kiddo that we really liked that we're going to look at working on an internship, let him come over, things like that. So it checked all of the boxes that we were trying to check, especially for a first launch event. So we were really happy with that.
Just an additional comment on mm-hmm. that, thanking everyone. They in real time, they were doing their resumes. Mm-hmm. So the kids were putting them in a basket and they were going through them.
Yep.
And it was really, really great. And something came up again that I'm sure that maybe all of you know, or Futurology. Then, but I don't know much about this, but the LinkedIn portion, again, if you don't put your resume, if it's too creative and amazing, it gets popped out. So that's a whole thing for next year. So I know someone smarter than I will, there's all sorts of algorithms of how you should have your resume look if you're using LinkedIn. Again, too trendy, too cool, like me, I would have color. It's nothing. So I've been seeing a lot of posts and things on that.
Yeah.
So I can,
yeah.
Mention that. So.
ChatGPT, you can throw it, you can give it all the information you want, and you can tell it to write me a simplistic, you can give it whatever adjective you want to, and it'll create those things for you now with its image generator.
That'll be more accept received than the, my creative one that I do.
We had an increase of about 23% of our social media engagement, so you know, through our student portals and parent portals, so we can track that. So we drove a lot more traffic to our digital presence this year, which was really great. So here's some statistical information for the appointments. So we had 693 one-on-one appointments with kiddos at the school with our career guidance specialists. We had 4,663 students that were served through drop-in appointments, just kids coming by at lunch or a tutorial, those kinds of things. We had 49 parent meetings that were scheduled. And we attended 395 attendees at our parent engagement meetings that we had, our ELACs, our DLACs, and our PTSAs that were all, you know, a part of some of the work that the CGSs were doing there as well. So I think those were the highlights from Nicole that we asked her to put together for us. So we appreciate her doing that while she was sick. Then I was going to kick it over to Kim to talk a little bit about some of the celebrations and some of the students' successes that we experienced this year.
And that's why I started it early.
Yeah.
It's still early. And I wanted
just
to
warm up.
And I didn't want to like just report out, because I think that we don't you don't get to see the kids like in their little uniforms when they're at HOSA, or in their the fashion outfits that they were able to create, or at Virtual Enterprise. So I was like, I'm just going to do three quick slides so that they can actually see the students all in their little uniforms and stuff. And then now my slides aren't working. But we took, and I don't even have the information because it's on the slides, but I can tell you firsthand, because I was at all three of these events with Jillian, and I were at two of the out of the three events, and Nicole and I were in New York with Virtual Enterprise. So we chaperoned. And I will say that the fashion event at Saddleback, I was not in my element. This is Jill's element, right? Jill had me a little fanny pack with Band-Aids and tape for the fashion. And here I am in the back room dressing, helping the, not our high school kids, but the college kids. They were getting their dresses on, and I was pinning, and I was assigned two models. And I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? Like, I would have never in a million years found myself at a... you know, at a at an event like that. And here I was. And it was great. Like, I'm glad I can come back and, like, talk about it. But this was the first time that our kids participated with Saddleback. So that was really cool. There's some pictures in our high school kids. I think there were eight of them. I'm remembering from the slide thing. I think there were eight of them that got to participate. And they were a little in their own room. And so they got to go into makeup and get their makeup done. And then these were outfits that they created and designed. And one of the reasons why I wanted to show you, because their outfits are on here. And then it was nice because they first, second, and third place. And so we had representation from several of our schools, including Laguna Beach. So I really wanted D to see, because I feel like sometimes, you know, you guys get overlooked. So yeah, we had our band.
You got it.
Yay. She had to go sign in hers together.
That's
so
really cool.
Yeah.
I'm so glad it was
with an assist
that.
From Paul.
Yeah. So our advanced design students were invited to participate in the Saddleback fashion show for the first time, and Jill and I were invited to work in the back, which was fine. It was great.
You're called a dresser.
Yes, I was a dresser. That's right. And like I said, I would have never known. Eight students draped, sewed, and modeled their own original designs, and fashion experts judged the Rising Star category, and the prizes were awarded to the top three designers. So we had Lillian Lee from Aliso Niguel for first place. We had Riley Schreier from San Clemente High School, and then we had Chloe O'Loughlin from Laguna Beach High School. And so those were their actual designs that they sewed, they created, modeled, and everything. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool. That was a cool event. And then this is our virtual enterprise. This was the one that we flew to New York with our virtual enterprise. This is one of the favorite ones that I go to. I'm not supposed to say it, but these kids are like my favorite. They're so good. We travel with them. Yeah, I know. I don't want to say it because I don't travel with all of them, but they're just really, really good kids. A lot of fun. And so they went to this national event. They have to compete the whole time to get to the nationals. And so they compete in marketing, global innovation challenge, financial literacy challenge, rapid prototyping, and salesmanship. And they set up a booth. And then you get like, everybody gets like a little credit card, and they're all pitching. They're trying to sell you their product that they've made. They've got a prototype of their product. It's really cool. And they went to the nationals, and they ended up getting second place in the whole United States. And there were some countries. Brazil was there, I think I saw. Austria, Brazil, Bulgaria, Germany, so Indonesia, so from all over the world. And our kids got second place. So that was also another event that we were at. And then the third one, this one is near and dear to my heart because this is the one that I was when I was teaching this HOSA, Future Health Paraprofessionals. This was a group I was an advisor for 10 years. So I traveled every year to Sacramento and we competed, and they're all medical competitions. So we had 49 students and the numbers are broken down there. We had 9 from Aliso, 25 from Capo. That was our original one that started. It's the chapter, so that's why it's the biggest. Laguna Beach, for the first time, sent their first 6 kids there with their with Brian Carver. And then San Juan Hill sent 9. And they competed in Anaheim, California. Usually they do a north and a south every year. They flip back and forth, so next year it'll be Sacramento. 19 students from our group were finalists, and 9 qualified for the international conference, and it's in Houston. And Miss Jillian is going to go to Houston with them, with David Song. He'll be representing CCA there. So in the health informatics competition. And then we had a second place dental. So that's my update for your CTSOs.
Yeah. Great.
Cool. Thank you, Kim.
Thanks for the visuals.
What do they do with the dresses after they won? Like,
I don't know.
I asked them, and 2 of the girls wore them to prom.
Yeah.
Oh.
They were good enough.
Already. Yeah. They were beautiful.
They were really, really.
My personal opinion is that they looked, the techniques that they used were as advanced as the most advanced
Absolutely.
Students.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, and when you see them in their little, you know, when you see them all in uniform, it's a difference than me just saying, oh, we took 29 kids, you know, but when you see them all of them in their, you know, their outfits and looking so professional, and there's how many, was there like 4,000 of them competing? I think
yeah, that's
like,
a big event.
It's a big, huge event. So you see 4,000 of them running around in their little blue suits. So.
Great.
Okay, next I was going to hand it over to Dom to give us some updates on the adult program.
Okay, so we just celebrated our graduation ceremony this past month, and we had about 90 students come through. Big age range of all of our students that we have going through the adult program, but primarily it seemed like many of them were between the ages of 18 and 30, so just so you know, I always call them kids because they're at that age range, and a lot of them, they've already attended CUSD and LPUSD, you know, school districts. So we had our open house about a month ago, and one of our curriculum specialists came through, and she recognized like 7 students that she had met with in the past that, and she was like almost in tears, like, oh my God, it's like a homecoming, like these are all my old students. So a lot of our students that come through the district and through high school, they end up becoming adults and they join our adult program and they take these classes. So it was good to see that at the graduation ceremony. Like I said, the open house was there. We had IVC, Irvine Valley College. There's a coordinator over there who works with this English language learner program. It's a healthcare pathways grant that came through. It was like $30 million designated by the state to come to the chancellor's office and for injecting this money into English language learners to help them train in skills in healthcare pathways. And that money was designated to the consortium. So we're part of the South Orange County Regional Consortium. And so we were awarded $900,000 is what we got. So
To the consortium.
So CCA took a portion of that. We got $144,000 for the first round. And so we launched our medical assistant class for English language learners. And that's been the biggest mark this past year because we've had 20 students sign up for that class. And so many students that have come through, it's changed their lives completely and totally. Like a lot of them are just immigrants, you know, just come to this country and they don't know anybody. You know, one of these girls, she's from Nigeria, and she was saying that in her country, she's got to get permission from her husband to let her go to school. She's got to get that. So just to have that independence for her to come to class and take a course, I mean, it's been life, you know, transformation for this lady. So it's a really great program that we have. So
are you able to track the jobs if when they, or they just tell you anecdotally, or?
We are able to track the jobs. So right now, we just finished that cohort. They just completed. So they're placed on internship. We have 100% on internship, which that's an employment and earnings metric that we can mark with the Chancellor's Office for CCA. Okay. So that's great. Five of them are already employed. And so they haven't even finished their internship and they're already employed.
Great.
So that's good. So with our medical assisting class, our teacher is phenomenal and she keeps really close contact with all the students and we find out where they're all working. And we sort of, so yeah, we can track that.
Are those paid internships?
They're not paid internships, but three of them have become paid internships. So they want to hire these students. So three of these students out of five, they're hired right now. They're getting paid for the internship. Once they complete their required hours, they're going to get a bump in pay.
Right.
You know, so they'll be employees. And
that's why they hold on to them. Yeah, because otherwise you could,
And those
allegiance.
Those stats and numbers for us in our consortium are far and above the other consortium partners. They really look at us when it comes down to the technical skills and actually pushing kids into employment. They call us. And they call Dom specifically the jewel of the consortium. They're always highlighting our program specifically because of our placement numbers.
Yeah, yep. we have like 266 students from just our program that we have. We also, you know, we include Laguna Beach also close to 300 students that we have cranking out this entire year. So, you know, due to those numbers for the consortium, we are the CTE program for the entire regional consortium. So it's been great. So it's been a really great year and just looking forward to the next year. We have a new round of spending coming up for the ELL program. We hope to include a dental assisting and pharmacy technician as well and get some more students, you know, some more of these immigrants that are just learning English and they want to get these trades and skills.
Very cool. Thank you, Tom. I've said from the very beginning, the adult program is one of my favorite pieces of CCA. It's the actual change somebody's life right now program. You know, our high school kids go on to college, they go on to other training, they're going to do what they're going to do, but they still have a ways to go. These guys are, this makes a difference in their family structure, like, immediately. So it's really fantastic. And I was, the graduation speech that I gave, was talking to them last year. I had just been to the doctor to just do a checkup, and the young lady that drew my blood was one of our, we just got to chit-chatting, and she's like, oh yeah, I went through this program, and it was us. And so checkup was about the same time, obviously, and again, it was a different place and a different young lady, and she pointed to my logo that was on my jacket when I walked in. And she goes, that's where I went. Is Ms. Brown still teaching? And Ms. Brown still teaching. So it's like you almost can't go anywhere around here, especially in the medical area, without running into somebody. And dental, too. We have really high placement in our dental, but I try to stay out of the dentist's office as much as possible.
It makes it very real when they're taking your blood, right?
Yeah, it's like, boy, if you hurt me, I'm going to go talk to Rhonda. We're going to have a conversation about up in the skills
back.
Practice.
Don, did you say 100%
employment for the dental assistant class? Yeah. She's another great one. I mean, we owe it all the teachers. They're just great teachers. They're really great with the students, and it's that rapport relationship they build with all these students. It just keeps growing and feeding because of that. So it's all due.
And each other, and you, and Lupi. Like, I asked one of our teachers that drives up from San Diego, and I asked her, so why are you driving from San Diego? I mean, seriously, let's get real. She's like, honestly, I drive here because it's this place. If it wasn't this place, and it wasn't my colleagues, and it wasn't the support from Dom and Lupi on that campus, and the support from the main office, she goes, no, I wouldn't do it. Because, yeah, I could get a job down in San Diego and save myself time and money and everything else, but she says it's worth it because of it's this place.
They get to work for the gym.
Right? Yeah. Exactly.
He can't live it down. He cannot live it down.
Yeah, they said that. That's never going away. So, okay, so let's jump ahead here. Just some other statistics. We had a meeting with OCDE the other day, and they have a program called InnoVare that they purchased, and they're giving a license to all the school districts. So we didn't know anything about it, and so they just kind of did it and said, oh, look, here's what we got for you. And it's basically a data dashboard software program. It does some fun things, and you can ask them to do custom reports and give you some interesting graphs and some other things. So they're waiting on the final iterations of it to come out, and then they'll turn that over to us. We don't have access to it yet, but they did some demo data for us, and they pulled it from last year's data because that's what they had available. But there it was interesting enough that I wanted to share it with you, even though it was last year's data. So the first data point we had on there was 61% of the kids in CUSD take a CTE class. So we thought that was notable. That's an 84% higher mark than the Orange County average. So we're significantly above all of our partners in Orange County. Our seventh and eighth grade students enroll in CTE classes at a rate of 35% higher than the Orange County average. And then we have our dual enrollment numbers are, again, 35 on the seventh and eighth grade enrollment, 35%. The next one's 36% of our, we have dual enrollment kiddos, 36% higher rates than Orange County at large. And then one that was super notable that they just thought was interesting and they threw it on there, for our public safety pathway specifically, we're 256% higher than the Orange County average. And the reason it's so crazy over the top is we have a massive forensics program. And that's coded into public safety the way we have it structured. So they pulled that one out, thought that was very interesting. But it's kind of a little bit different just because of the way we have it situated. But the program itself, InnoVare, is really, really cool. So I'm looking forward to having the team have access to that for next year to be able to do some interesting data analysis along with TIS upstairs, who's doing some things for us as well. So, but I just thought those were really great numbers that I thought I'd share with you guys. And some of my updates you've seen over the past several weeks, we applied for a handful of new grants that were out there. So I'm really excited to be able to share this with you. So the Golden State Pathways grant, which we weren't sure was going to fly. We thought maybe that $500 million would go a long way to helping with the deficit, but they put it out there. So right now the language is these are proposed award amounts to everyone. So as long as everything keeps going, our proposed award amount was $2,480,000. So we had a $3 million grant that we put out there, and they funded us at 2.4, just over 2.4, which was really great. So pathways that you had to write them to very specific pathways. It was one of those grants that was real, real particular. So ALISO engineering program will be supported. Capo Valley engineering program will be supported. Dana Hills Healthcare, San Clemente's computer science, San Juan's business program, Tesoro's esports, and Laguna's engineering program. So we can support all of our programs, but those were where the direct funding will be going. But it'll be able to be spread across all of our schools there as well. So that was fantastic. We just got notification, maybe an hour ago? We submitted a CCAP grant. So this was the first year that ROPs were officially allowed to submit a CCAP grant. Others had done it in the past, and I guess nobody questioned it and just pushed it through. So this year it actually was upfront and official. So we were awarded $100,000 for each one of our high schools in CUSC. So we got $800,000 from the CCAP grant. So the other one that we're waiting to hear from is the Middle School Foundations Academy grant. We submitted it last year. Remember, we submitted two. They both qualified, and they called me and said, you can only have one. Which one do you want? I said, which one's got the higher score? It's Marco by 1 point. Well, that's fair. Marco gets it, right? The other one was Shorecliffs. So we resubmitted Shorecliffs grant, and we're waiting to hear if we're allowed to have a second one for this year to support the culinary program there. And then Dom mentioned it. The ELL healthcare grant for the adult ed program, we weren't sure if that was going to go into a year two, and a few weeks back we got notified that it indeed is going to go into the year two, got funded. So we're right at $150,000 in funding to add the dental and the pharmacy, as Dom said, for this coming school year. So we'll have the funds to be able to do those things. So some good grant awards coming in. We'll be able to do a lot of good stuff. We've got some aging equipment, so this is going to be great to be able to modernize several of our labs. Let's see. What else is interesting? We were able to fill both of our automotive openings that we had, so that's the next best thing to a miracle, being able to do that. We've actually pulled a couple rabbits out of our hat in the last couple of years, getting some of our EMT. We got a new EMT guy. We got a new auto last year, and now we got two this year. So I don't know too many places found three new auto teachers in 2 years. That's pretty exceptional. And then we also, as a part of a program with OCDE, we're looking to be able to start our first official registered apprenticeship program through the education pathway we have at Tesoro High School. So I met a partner at one of our K-16 grant meetings, and he's I should have wrote his name down. I didn't do it. Yes, I did. Dreams for Schools, it's the name of the company. Mm-hmm. They're currently operating in 8 of our elementary schools, so they do after-school CTE programming for kids. They'll teach like Python and robotics, kind of an after-school fashion. So he hires, the company hires college students to come down and be the instructors, and then they rely on volunteers to come and be extra sets of hands. So they're going to take our students as the volunteers in the internship capacity initially, and then once we get everything kind of all lined up, we're going to convert that internship into an apprenticeship, because OCDE has an education pathway apprenticeship paperwork already signed, sealed, and done, and any district can sign on and use their umbrella. So that's something that we've got teed up and ready to go. Kim will have a lot to do with pulling that together for next year, but excited about having an official apprenticeship program up and running. Just two other little bits, a couple of pieces of legislation. So AB 2245, that's the bill that addresses the permanency status for ROP teachers specifically. Last bill update I saw come through was that it's in committee right now. It's in appropriations, so they're taking a look at it. That's where it stalled the last 2 years, so we'll see if that happens again. I don't get the same sense from our ledge advocates that they have the same level of comfort that it might stall again this year. There seems to be a little bit more steam behind it, so we'll see what happens. We're in good shape, our staff right now. I would take our staff into battle any day. Everybody that we've got there, it's a good group. So couldn't be the worst thing in the world if it has to happen. This is the group I would want to have it happen with. So in that sense, it's a good thing. Overall, it may be a little questionable as a CTE function whether that's a good thing for the long haul or not, but they'll have to address that later on down the road if they start seeing some oddness that happens as a result of it, if it does pass. So the other one, AB 2088, so that's the one that speaks to classified vacancies, and somebody, a classified person that is in line for a promotion or for this job gets first crack at it and all those kinds of things. They pretty well gutted it. It used to be they get first crack at it and you had to train them and all this stuff. So it was basically just guaranteeing whoever threw their hand in the air and said, I want that job, pretty much was going to get it the way it was originally written. So they pulled a lot of that out of it. So it's pretty benign at this point, but it still has some language in there that we need to pay attention to for our classified staff should it make it through. So that those two we're still kind of watching. Everything else is either resolved or has already gone through. So that's what we had for the legislative thing. And then you wanted me to ask question.
Yes.
Future meetings going forward. Do we want to stay at the 5 o'clock mark? Kathy was asking because the new programs, we need to get some things in there and it's easier to set it up and let it run. Is that something that we're thinking you guys would like to do for this coming school year, to have a 5 o'clock time instead of a 4?
That's what I asked for. For me, it's better.
Better for Jan?
You guys have any left for us at 5?
That's fine for me, too. I mean,
that's
the later.
Okay. I know later's probably good, Ben, for picture. Okay, so that'd be a yes, looks like. Okay. So that is the report that I had for you guys for this evening. Any questions about any of that? Any other information that I can provide or get to? No? Okay. Awesome.
Okay, so oral communication. We've had no comments from the public. Andy, do you want to open the public hearing for a proposal of the budget?
Okay.
So it's 5:46.
Okay.
We'll call it open. We have no speakers, so I guess we'll declare it closed at 5:47.
These meetings are so great. No stress. There's no blue cards. It's just like just business.
Someday I'm going to come back to these meetings
just to do a little
comment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to put them in the morning then.
Okay, can we have a motion to discuss the proposed budget?
So moved.
Who seconded?
I did.
Okay.
And you're up.
I'm up.
Okay. You're up.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
So I came back to get the pleasure of presenting you guys the proposed budget for 24-25. As I usually like to say, everything that I'm about to talk about is covered in the 657-page SACS report and the 3-page memo. And hopefully, I thought I would make it shorter, but maybe I made the font too big, so we've got a little bit. But on the heels of what Paul just talked about, all of that happened right after this was printed. So there's another 3.3-ish million that is not included in here that will be updated at our next update in First Center. So all of the glowing things that I'm about to say about it are going to be even better because of that, and it'll be a multi-year funding. So just wanted to put that caveat in there when you guys were wondering why that's not in there. It got literally about 5 hours after we hit print, we heard about the OC Pathways one. So like I said, I believe the very first most important thing to note is the time of reporting. We are continuing to project that CCA will be at a positive financial position for 24-25 school year, as well as the two subsequent years of 25-26 and 26-27. While preparing the proposed budget for fiscal year 24-25, the estimated actuals for this year, 23-24, were calculated. This helps to determine what the carryover for our grants will be for the next fiscal year. And of course, this will be fully determined when we do our unaudited actuals in September, and thus knowing what our actual carryovers are gonna be when we start out the 24-25 school year. And so that means that the 24-25 will be updated at First Interim in December, along with the report from the auditors for the 23-24 school year. So this year will be finished by then. So the revenues to consider for 24-25 are including the CTIG incentive grant, or CTE incentive grant that we call CTIG. That's we're estimating for a little over $3 million, on par with what we've been doing for the last couple of years. K-12 Strong Workforce Pathway Coordinator Grant of $130,000, and a carryover of the K-12 Strong Workforce Grant Program of nearly $1.15 million, as well as a grant from Rancho Santiago Community College District being carried over for $30,000. OCDE is estimating that our STRS on behalf is to be estimated about $218,000 for next year. Other revenues include $50,000 for interest, which we did reduce a little bit because we're not earning as much as we were on the amount that we have in the bank. So we moved it down from $100,000 to $50,000 to get back onto where it's basically going to probably end up being. But of course, now we have some more, so it might be increased. What else do we have? We have $509,000 that we talked about from CAPE for the adult ed program, and we're carrying over from that ELL program about $90,000. And then if we do get more, that will get added in later to start off the first semester of next year. We have funding for it already. And then there's a 2K16 grants for $43,000 and $80,000. One of them is a pass-through apportionment from the district. And then, or the pass-through apportionment from the districts is $1.67 million, bringing that back up to the apportionment levels that were pre-COVID. And so that gives us a total projected revenue at this time for paying the budget of a little over $7.07 million.
And that reflects the other grant?
That's not including the new 3.0.
Not the new stuff.
And the name of that grant again, my apologies.
The Golden State Pathways?
Golden State Pathways.
And the other
that's
one?
That's going to bring in about 3-something.
That one's bringing 2.4. 2.480.
2,480,000.
Okay.
And then CCAP grant was a total of 800. Okay. Those are the two we just found out about after we put the budget together.
Golden State Pathway, and I'm sorry, what are the other?
CCAP? CCAP.
Yeah. And that was how much?
800.
800, got it.
And there's a few more that we think we're going to be getting to.
Nice, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening, but I didn't say anything.
And so moving on to the projected expenditures for 24-25, salaries include salaries of $2.1 million for certificated staff, about $928,000 for classified staff. This includes any applicable? STEPS increases and the reductions that we previously talked about at our last meeting. This leads us to $1.6 million in benefits based on the salaries, including increased costs and including the increased cost to our health insurance and the rise in the CalPERS employer contribution percentage from 26.68% to 27.05%, which actually wasn't as high as they had originally announced, so that was at least a little bit of a benefit in our favor. The expenditures for textbooks, materials, and supplies and equipment are projected to be at $419,000, which is a decrease of about $53,000 from this fiscal year 23-24. It's utilizing the K-16 and the K-12 strong workforce program carryover, while also returning to some of our pre-COVID level expenditure spending levels. Services and operation expenditures are projected to be at $987,000, an increase of about $170,000 from 23-24 to increases from, which are in here, things like OCDE's courier or service fees for OCDE for the courier systems, the software that we use for our payroll and finances, and the MOU instructor salaries from the JPA districts based on their increased salaries. Capital outlay is projected to be at $214,000, which is a decrease of about $60,000 from this year. It's utilizing the K-12 strong workforce carryover and returning closer to what we used to spend before COVID funding. The other outgo, which is the pass-through funds that CCA sends to our JPA districts from the grants that we receive, is projected to be at $696,000, which is a decrease because right now it's only including the 24-25 CTIG and any of the pass-throughs that are from ones we have before. We're not including any future things for like K-12 and any of these programs that may have a pass-through, because we don't know what the amounts are yet. So from 23-24 to 24-25, expenses are down $724,000, resulting in a projected ending fund balance for 24-25 to be $2.3 million. Normally at this time, I'm usually having to explain to you that our SACS report is telling us that we're deficit spending, but the COVID funding has finally actually ended, or the resource code has expired. So for right now, we've moved that funds into our regular reserves for unexpected economic, and it now actually shows up in our SACS report. But we are talking to our auditor to make sure that that's where we want to keep it, if that's the best place for it, if there's another fund that it should be in instead. And I didn't get an answer before this was due. Where it's at is okay. I just wanted to make sure it was the best place for it for everybody involved. It might change out of that exact funding and into a different reserve, and we'll figure that out before the unaudited actuals. So as you have heard today, CCA is in a great financial position or fiscal position, and we are projecting to be a positive certification for 24-25 and subsequent years. As I mentioned, we will be presenting updates at 24-25 person and reporting in December based on 23-24. Unaudited actuals in September and our audit report in December. At this time, it is our recommendation for you, the governing board, to approve College and Career Advantage's proposed budget for fiscal year 24-25 as presented. However, please feel free to ask me any questions about the budget.
And know that it'll change based on the new grant amounts that are coming in.
Yes.
I would move approval. And then this is Joel.
Yes.
This is, okay.
Yeah. Joel. Yeah. We blasted right by the introduction.
Sorry. I had that in my notes and I forgot. Yeah. This is Joel, who's the new accountant for CCA. He's going to be learning all the ropes from me, and I'm going to pass everything on to him, and you guys will be learning from him from now on.
Great.
We're looking forward to
it. We ask really high level questions here about budget, don't we?
My only problem is with the Chargers.
Oh yeah.
No.
It doesn't stop it. That means this guy's directed. Okay, so
second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you, Mary.
Next, we have capping the organization's future benefit contribution.
So this is a proposal that we want to bring to you as a cost-saving measure moving into next year. So benefits increase over the last several years just exponentially. If last year we had about a 20-something percent increase. It was basically $99,480 was an increase, a one-year increase in benefits for our organization. It would be tough for us to absorb that again next year because that speaks directly to cash flow. That's not just budgeting overall. That's actual cash that's coming out of the account next year, and that would be really, really hard for us to take that hit should we get that kind of an increase again, which is what we're hearing we should be expecting. So the proposal is to put a one-year freeze on the amount that CCA pays out to keep it at its current spending level. So any increase in costs then would be passed through to the employee, just like it was this year. We had some increased, mine almost doubled for me personally. So that is something that's happened in the past as well. But then at the end of next year, we can reevaluate and take a look at it and see if that's something that needs to stay intact, or we can re-level at that point and set a new amount. But that would be something we could take a look at the end of next year going into the following fiscal year.
What are other ROPs doing? Because everyone's got the same problem.
You get a mixed bag of who's doing what. Everybody's got a little different spin on things. I know one ROP that I'm very close to saved almost 70% of their COVID money, didn't spend a dime, hardly. And they're using that to offset things going forward. They're playing the catch me if you can with the COVID police at the state. So it might bite them, it might not. I'm sorry?
That will last.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were supposed to spend.
So they're going to just eat away, and then hopefully, you know, there's going to be some magic fix for that particular organization at the end of 2 or 3 years when they burn all that up. And so hopefully that, you know, they have a plan for that. So there's some people are doing that. I do know a couple others that they're doing a freeze. Others have switched to a percentage. So there's just an ongoing percent that the organization is going to carry, and what the price does, and that helps mitigate a little bit as well. So everybody's got their own spin on how they're addressing it, but it's a problem for everybody. Yeah.
I've had the same for 10 years. I don't remember why United Health was chosen in 2014, but they were able to look at another carrier, another provider, as far as shopping for better rates.
Go ahead, you're closer to it.
Well, right now we get our benefits through CalPERS. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult to get out of CalPERS. I looked into it one time a few years ago, and at that time, you couldn't sign up with a health carrier that was offered through PERS. So you had to find someone else that PERS didn't offer. And it's golden handcuffs. So I don't know if that's changed or not. And I don't know that we would find better rates.
Yeah, our rates
are like a million years ago when we were in the other location. Uh-huh. Reardon wanted
yes.
to play around with the Viva Miba
yes.
and all that stuff.
And
remember
we did,
that?
Yes. And I remember shopping for quotes. We did get quotes from Viva, and we got quotes from a couple other carriers, but PERS was the most competitive.
Okay. Yeah,
I do remember that.
Remember that? It was it was going to be a signature thing. He was going to fix this for us.
We ended up having to stay with PERS because they offer the most competitive rates.
Yeah. Our rates compared to the district rates here, I use our insurance carrier here. And the same equivalent insurance, if I was on the district's plan, would be an additional $1,500 a month.
So they don't use United?
I'm sorry?
The district does not use it.
They have several different.
We have United.
Yeah, they have several carriers.
Yeah.
But you have multiple options.
Yeah, multiple.
And does your district use a broker to find the best rates?
It's CalPERS.
They use the same
one. You guys through CUSD goes through CalPERS?
I can't remember who they use. It's not CalPERS.
We kept ours for our employees in the district.
You guys did at Laguna as well?
Yeah, it's been quite a while. So we go out basically every year with the broker.
I asked someone that worked next to me, and she said it was CalPERS. It was not mine, so she told me that I can remember.
So then it may change.
Yeah.
But the employees pick up whatever is the
They have retirement through CalPERS still.
Yeah.
But their health insurance is through another vendor. I can't remember what it was, though.
I don't know.
But I was shocked that it wasn't CalPERS.
Yeah.
And it wasn't CIST, which is the other big one that's used. It was another one.
That I don't remember. How long have we been doing that?
probably.
Does your broker ever find anything better, Jan?
Yes.
They do? So then you get, then you just switch. Okay.
And then we change.
Yeah.
And they, when they do that, they try to make sure, they try to have it be similar in positions and groups that are covered, so mm-hmm. the employees don't.
People aren't always trading doctors.
Yeah, everybody
and getting new doctors that don't know your history.
Yeah. It changed significantly, and I don't remember how many years it's been, but we had this.
No, it's Viva.
I think that maybe Dean West is in
the Viva, Viva. But I'm like, it wasn't CalPERS, but I'm like, I'm all.
We had what they called the Cadillac plan. Mm-hmm. It was going to be.
When I wasn't from.
I thought it was because I get all those.
I'll call them from the state if you had a gun like that.
Because we had a terrific plan, so it's changed.
This was the first time that our plan has, since we've had it, that Kaiser usually is competitive. You can usually mm-hmm. get Kaiser or
yeah,
United.
Kaiser won all of the states.
But this was the first year that I've been here that Kaiser actually cost money for us this year, too.
I know previously, if you remember, we were with SEBA.
Yeah.
Yes. And PERS at that time beat their rates. Yeah. I don't know where they are right now.
It's just a question I have. I just wondered if
they. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, somebody to hold it up.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So
no,
that.
Good. I mean, insurance, it's depressing.
It is. It is. It is very depressing.
As a district, we held up for a long time before we put the cap on so, and had the employees pick up the business.
Yeah.
But it's hard to do.
So that would be the proposal for you guys to just
and as
to
far
weigh.
As, employee response, and you experienced it. Is the onus so high, or is it something you can still ride out with when we put the cap on it and what you're seeing?
I mean
are they gonna like
it's,
go off
this is tonight? Well, I mean, this is kind of an insurance policy, right? We don't know exactly what the increases are going to be. I mean, if they hit us with a 60% increase or a 40% increase, yeah, it's going to be mutiny, but it's going to be mutiny everywhere because
right,
that's craziness, right. You know, if it's something similar to what they did this year, or you know, possibly a little bit less maybe, then it'll, I mean, yeah, it's going to make a $200 or $300 difference in somebody's check, which is a
sure.
big deal.
Yeah.
But, you know.
My thing is, thinking is we could do it for one more year, but next year we can't do it that way. That would just be too much of a burden on the employees.
Yeah, yeah.
If it went up again.
Yeah, we'd have to
yeah, this is
come
just
up with a
better
plan next year.
Yeah, this is just a 1 year. Yeah. Just a 1 year stopgap to make sure that next year's cash flow is in good order so that we don't have any issues.
Yeah.
Correct. Correct.
It's a fiscal year.
It's a calendar year.
It's a calendar year.
So
for PERS,
calendar.
It's calendar.
Yeah. Okay.
For dental and vision, it's fiscal.
It's fiscal. So this basically, if we make a decision to approve this cap tonight, everyone in the district is now on the, district.
CCA.
will
now be writing a check. Because I imagine the cap is probably, we're paying a lot over the cap right now, right?
We're not.
Well, actually, what our cap
numbers.
Is,
yeah.
Our single cap right now is $11,284.
How many employees on that one?
I don't know. I didn't do the breakdown for who's on single plus one or family. But right now we have 36 people that are on insurance. And of the 36, 18 are contributing, but some of them are less than 100% full-time equivalent. Okay, and contributions from employees, if they're single, it starts around 70. If it goes up to family, for the best plan, it's around 630 a month.
And that's for the Cadillac,
Cadillac
PPO plan.
Yeah.
Cadillac and your whole family.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where it is right now.
Still better in the open marketplace for mm-hmm. healthcare. That's what Ruben found. He thought he could
thought he
get around
yeah,
all
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Couldn't
and
find
then,
anything that was
nope.
better.
No, our rates are
it's still
fantastic.
Really good. It's still a really good rate.
In fact, he couldn't buy it. He couldn't go to like, what was he trying to do for his own business? He was like,
Kaiser.
Yeah, Kaiser. And he says, all right, I don't want it. And he looked down our plan and they go, no, we don't do that
yeah.
for you.
Yeah, you know.
So
we don't
literally
waste
couldn't
our time.
Buy what the state
the same
is.
Coverage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing I didn't think about until now is that I've been looking on per site to see when they're going to release the rates for 25. Supposedly, they're going to vote on them in July. So once they vote on them in July, I should maybe have them in the end of July or August.
For the September meeting?
We could do it at the
should
September
we table
meeting.
This,
I'd
then?
Rather do it then when we know something.
Yeah.
Especially if, like, if you could break it down to like employees, like
how many
full-time employees, what are they on, which plans, because otherwise this is a kind of a hatchet for something I think is a little more surgical. And if it, correct, it, PERS is, it's still the retirement board, right?
Yes, for classified.
People are ridiculous.
Yeah, it's for classified only.
That's the biggest fund, I think, in the entire country, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I mean,
in the world.
In the world, yeah, they affect governments, and they're asking for a few more bucks for healthcare. Oh, gosh.
We need a motion to table?
Sure.
Should we table, yeah, so you need a motion to table it?
Yeah.
And just bring it back when you're ready.
And second?
I'll second, or Gary, second.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Okay, good discussion, that was good. We're still the good guys for a little bit, till the next.
For a little while.
The next meeting.
Okay, next item is our organizational goals. So I've got some updates. I'm just kind of going to go down through the different goals, starting at the top. Remember that the asterisk that you see next to some of those goals indicates that that's directly tied to our WASC goals. So we talked about the first one, our pathway completers, so you can kind of see there where we're at. I did 468 projected because that was the number I had when we had to go to print. And Nicole gave me the updated number just this morning. So that's where the 500 number that I reported earlier is the accurate number there. As you can see, some good steady growth coming as a result of the work that the crew has been up to. Expanding our services by our CGSs, we talked a little bit about that already, having indicated that they've been going to the middle schools and doing our transition meetings, going to the elementary schools and being part of those career days and those different activities. It's always great to see the little kids reacting. We took the ambulance down a couple of times and the kids were really excited to see that program. Yeah.
I have a question. So Shorecliffs has the music business. I forget what it's called.
Commercial music?
What is it?
Commercial music.
Then for pathway completer, so if they're in that Shorecliffs, Tesoro is the school that has it coming out of their school, right?
Yeah, Tesoro didn't run it this year. They didn't have a teacher for it, so it was an idle program this year.
It's really popular at Shorecliffs.
It's wildly popular.
It's wildly popular, and they need someplace to go with it.
Yeah, and that would be a San Clemente ad,
right?
For the most part, because the majority of those kids wind up going to San Clemente. So that would be a program that we could look as we go forward to start something new. If we could.
Yeah, because if they're excited about it and we've hooked them.
Yeah, JPB does a good job with the kids there. Yep.
So what is commercial music?
I don't know.
It's more about composing and actually recording and doing all the not just the playing, not just learning how to play, but it's learning how to do everything else once you play it. What do you do with it? How do you capture it? How do you package it? How do you create music for this purpose versus this purpose, and what is the software that you use to do some of that kind of thing? And it's just kind of the backside of the music industry, I guess, is a good way to describe it.
I think it probably the kids that aren't necessarily adept, music or the playing of it, that they love it. They love music. So and the person there at Sharkless has been there for a while, thank God, because that was a revolving door, and he is doing a really good job with it. But I just realized there's no place to go.
Yeah, no, there's currently not coming out of the middle school for that
because
one.
Because you need the feeder that's going into the, all right. So we'll need somebody to maybe follow up and see about having that happen at San Clemente High School. Mm-hmm. They've got space.
How is their music program there at San Clemente? Do they have a good music program? They have a good music
just
program
in general.
At San Clemente.
No, they don't.
It's not what I've heard about.
But
I know Jane does.
I'm kind of way out of my comfort zone. But if commercial music is happening at Shorecliffs, then that might boost the whole music thing in general over at San Clemente. They just struggle with commitment from some of the instructors. Not the theater's doing. Kirstie's amazing.
Kirstie's great. Yep.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, we could definitely, during program planning, we can talk to that principal and see, what they feel about section-wise and, all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
If they feel like they have kiddos.
If they know
kiddos.
It's happening in Shorecliffs, and I don't have the data, how robust it is. I think Shorecliffs is this big these days, but if you're capturing kids and stimulating them, That'd be great.
And especially if some of our other programs are not continuing.
Hey, Paul,
Yes, sir.
Sorry to be regressive about this. The career guidance specialists.
Okay.
How many are we employing? How many are there?
Right now we have one at every high school. Okay. And then we've reduced, last meeting we talked about, we're going to reduce those.
Yeah, that I do remember. And then what was the workload like for them? What is it, like a guidance, like a counselor, so one in every 500, or what does that look like?
Oh, they're a resource for the kids, so they don't necessarily have a one like 500 like the counselors do, because no schools have 5, 6, 7 counselors like that.
Yeah.
We just have the one. So they serve any and all students that come in to talk about CTE.
They don't schedule a series of appointments with all of the...
They do all of that. Okay. So they do schedule appointments for kids. If they want to have a scheduled sit down, they go out into classes, they work with teachers, and teachers can schedule them to come out and talk to their class.
Yeah.
They're available during lunch and tutorial, and after school for families that want to come in after hours, they can be there available as well.
What does that look like? Is it normal? I mean, kind of ballpark here. Is it, so I'm in my office, I schedule some appointments, and do I follow up with them each time, or is there some way of tracking the kind of...
They use Calendly to schedule, so kids can go online, and so we can pull data from Calendly if we looking for some more specific statistics.
I like this idea that the career guidance specialists, you're saying here in A, right, that are improving these numbers through some level of commitment, either in... no engagement practices, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or literally they're spending more hours with each individual student to increase these numbers, because 85 to, I guess, seeing it now rather than you saying it is
right. So the 85, just let me clarify, that was one of the first things we did, was take a look at our sequencing.
Yeah.
So 85 to 376
translates
mostly to us cleaning up.
Okay.
Sequencing of pathways and working with the counselors to make sure counselors are putting kids in level 2 courses before they go into level 3 courses versus the other way around.
They get their cords.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So but then from 376 to 468?
It's 5 for this year. Yes, that's another big jump.
Yeah, that's so, still with the full complement of now, I should expect next year's report to have less.
I wouldn't expect it to shrink too terribly much, to be honest with you.
Okay, because they're not as... we've cut it in half, right?
We have. So we're going to share 2 schools. So they'll still be on campus each week. The heavy lifting, if you will, really has been done in communication with our counselors to help them understand. They're the key to scheduling kids. And
so
the biggest benefit for our CGSs on campus is they're the CTE experts.
Okay.
So the counselors will go to the CGS and say, okay, look, I've got Paul here. Paul wants to do culinary. He's already done this one over here. What does he need to do?
Let's look at his schedule.
Yeah.
See what...
And then they work it out and then off they go. So all of that will be able to continue to happen at a good level. So I don't anticipate the drop off
Do the counselors on the campus push back at this kind of discussion, or are we... We're not a pariah there, right?
From every school has its own identity.
Right.
So let me say it that way.
What's the dynamic like on the best and the worst case scenario?
Best case scenario is they wish we had another 3 dozen classes on their campus, and they love us and they want to do anything and everything they can to support us.
They don't see it as a interference in A through G or whatever.
No. Okay. Worst case school, it's a fight to get them to talk to us.
Jeez,
okay. So it...
Where is that?
It really...
No, I'll tell you.
Well, I mean, this is something our dirty laundry. So CUSD, we do need our... We made that big switch with our academic advisors to our...
Counselors.
Counselors. Yeah. Huge shift. We're still... And I know our superintendent's walking through and looking at the data, looking at where we need to help and support them. Right, so because they're expected, they're doing all of this, and then the kid comes in and says, "I'm suicidal," and they're supposed to also handle that, right? And so they're, because we made them get their master's, and doing all of that. I'm sure I could see probably the 3 high schools I went to for senior awards. At Dana, are they doing a pretty good job? Because they seem like a robust...
Yeah, Dana's group. Very engaged.
Yeah, so I'm figuring somewhere in that, like you're saying, Gary, somewhere in that guidance counselor, in the counselor area, they're their
Well, I don't even know what it would be, but I'm just curious.
There's an interesting parallel between the number of CTE programs on a campus and the integration of CCA with that school.
Okay.
So like Capitol Valley, for example.
Yeah.
Fully integrated, hand in hand, we move together in everything that we do. And there's, I mean, the relationship couldn't be better.
Right.
San Clemente's real similar because they have so much.
Okay.
Yeah, you almost, our teachers there get treated as a high school teacher
and
by the administrative staff.
Working at 100%, right? So full steam ahead. Now, where does it start
clunky? And that's us being at the guidance AP meetings and, you know, working with program planning and putting things on campus. And then you have those schools that have this much CTE on their campus. And that's where it's tough to get in with the counselors to see us as a partner, as a positive partner for their kids.
Yeah.
Lots of different reasons why schools feel that way, and things are there and things are not there. But those are the tough ones.
Yeah.
Those are the tough ones to get into.
I don't know. What schools are they?
So the lowest number of CTE courses we have at any high school is Tesoro.
Tesoro.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But they push college. And they see this is career. They have not made you got to go to college, but you're still going to need to get a career.
So that was my school where I was at as the guidance AP. So the dirty secret that nobody shines a light on is about half of the senior class goes to Saddleback.
But if you ask the
community,
Oh no,
90% of the kids go to UCI or UCLA, absolutely, like all of them do.
Well, they're all in white robes.
Like 400 and something of them.
But yeah, I mean, the parents need to be informed.
Yeah,
it's not a bad thing. This is actually, you're not getting all of your sort of, you know, benefit of being
able to. And it's all tied together, right? Because the administration has to balance the needs of the community versus, you know, what's going on. Then the counselors have to balance that same thing with the kids, even though they know they have kiddos that are not going to go to UCI. They need to be in some of our classes, but it's not something the community really embraces. Therefore, the administration doesn't push for it. Therefore, it's a lot of interlinked factors.
Irvine seems to have made that leap because I read in the newspaper during graduation, the 10-year-old that just completed their AA degree and is on their way to as a junior at wherever university.
Yeah,
right?
That's crazy.
And beat the brother who is at 12, I think, completed his. So I don't know if it's an achievement thing. It's just, this is a nice benefit to what all of our tax money does. And if parents have kind of had a better awareness of this, it might not be as hard for school side to say, oh yeah, we would like more of that, please.
True. And the two things we've done this year to really make an impact on it, we got our esports program in there. So we started chipping away. Next year, we're going to have an in-belt section of the esports.
Yeah.
And then we re-energized our education pathway there. Mm-hmm. And the teacher that's teaching the education pathway, probably top three teacher in the building, she's phenomenal. AP psych teacher, AP scores out of sight. I mean, she's it. Her classes are packed. She's leading the charge with the education pathway. So now she's going to start doing internships, and she's going to teed up to do the apprenticeship. So that's like one of the best ambassadors we could have for that school to get the kids to want to do it, then, which will drag community and we'll start building.
Do you have a master's degree?
Jen? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Is it a master's degree in the discipline, or is it
I don't know.
I'd have to look. Do you remember from looking at her stuff?
No, I'm working on trying to get her class, right? She wanted to articulate her dual enrollment.
Yeah, we're trying to get a college credit
for it as
well.
That's our project for the summer. So our summer project is to go through and look at all the minimum qualifications and see which teachers, because we've been coming at it from a different angle, which is,
as a district, we have an HR department that could simply do a, because I've also asked for the same thing, and I don't think I've gotten a report yet.
Yes.
It wouldn't be without the trustees' interest to have this. I think we do a disservice to employees as well to say, well, the only path to promotion is through the education schools. No, there's the discipline stuff. If you still want to teach and teaching is your passion, teach math. We need more than that. We'll give you colleges, faculty, you get a different contract, and still, Saddleback's still CTA, as far as I remember. So it still counts to your service contribution.
That's our summer project. Nicole and I are going to sit down and go through our teachers and go through what the qualifications are and who we can see that can do that.
We're going to try to pick off as many of them as we can and integrate some funding with Saddleback as well. They can alleviate some of our salary burden if they pick up some people for some sections for us and maybe even grow a few extra sections, things like that.
He's been studying this farm for a long time. Yep. Get your master's and a discipline.
Yeah. Well, and the problem is we've been looking at classes and we're like, oh, which class would be great? Well, that's all good and dandy until you come up and go, oh, but guess what? We have a teacher that's been here for 20 years and she doesn't meet the qualifications. So why are we, you know, looking at that class? Let's try to find classes that the teacher, and then see if it's a good fit.
Right.
So that's, we're going to come about it a different way this summer.
That's our plan. Having the community dean or the department.
Yes, and she's going to be in the meeting. She's going to be in the meeting.
I only have these people, gotcha. Right?
Yes, that's exactly. She asked, she asked when I told her that was our summer project. We work very closely with Saddleback, and she was like, I'd love to be in that meeting. I go, we'd love to have. So, yeah.
Yep. Okay, so C, sorry, I was trying to go fast for everybody. ICANN Labs, we talked a little bit about that all the way, so I'm going to skip over to D there, industry-based certification. So as part of one of our grants that we have, one of the expectations, we had a lot of different objectives that you could choose from. One of them that we decided we were going to select was the digital badge program. So we have our digital badges in place. It's linked off of our website, so all of our kiddos that successfully passed with a C or better, any of our concentrator or capstone classes, receive their digital badge from their instructors, so now they can utilize that. All the competencies are listed on our website, so an employer can go and see what that actually represents. A kiddo that was a pathway completer for us got the capstone badge, and then in addition, they got the pathway completion badge. So a kiddo that goes through all three of ours would ultimately wind up with three digital badges that they could use college applications or post them in LinkedIn on their profiles or any other way that they have that they want to digitally represent the instruction that they've gone through in their discipline. So that is completely up and running. So that was a collaborative project with CUSD, and Jill did a lot of work with that for us as well. So we're real happy about that. Data tracking, so we met with TIS, CUSD's TIS the other day. It's been a couple weeks now, time flies. So there, we have a data template that we constructed, and they're working on giving us the queries and to be able to run to populate that data template. So we're capturing enrollment data, ethnicity data, demographic data. You know, they call them dabblers at the state, so kiddos that might have took a class as a freshman, but then now they're a junior and they didn't take anything in their sophomore year. So we can start identifying these kiddos. We can go to them and go to their counselors. That's going to be a good piece that we can give over to the counselors to say, look, you know, Paul, here's your caseloads worth of kiddos, and you have 19 dabblers on your out of your 500 kids. You know, what do you say we have a conversation with those kids and see what we can do about turning them into a completer instead of being a dabbler. So that's the hope from this data template, is we'll be able to do those kinds of things.
And then back to the dabbler and your guidance and our guidance counselors, you know, is the dabbler because they're dabbling or because somebody said, you got a, you know, gap in your schedule, just do this right now.
Could be, yeah.
And then we need to understand the desire. Is there a desire or who's who's happening there? Because I know it happened. That happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the kid enjoys it, but they have no interest in ever doing that again.
Right.
Or they don't enjoy it, and we see like our law pathway, you know, where it should be, you know, street justice, all that stuff should be fascinating and something, but somehow they were being slotted in because they had an opening, not because they wanted.
Yep. Happens. I want to say almost to every one of our classes every year.
Sure.
You know, we are who we are. We're the elective.
You get the B going, really?
Yeah. We're the elective that, you know, counselor's got a kiddo and you need five classes and you've only got four. You taking ceramics or you taking, you know, culinary arts? Ooh, culinary arts. That sounds good. Off you go.
There you go.
So, yeah. But this will give us the ability to identify those kids and have the conversation and find out if it's that kiddo, maybe nothing we can do about it. But maybe that kiddo has another hole the next year and is goes, you know what? You took culinary. Was it that bad? No, it was okay. Well, why don't you just
like
take the next one?
Again. They just no one asked.
Yeah. So now we'll be able to have those conversations using this data template. Moving on to number two, working with our advocates. We continue to have our presence in our JPA meetings and be a voice there when we send our advocates off to the Capitol to advocate on our behalf. Kim and I both attend those meetings. Actually, it's just one of the better meetings we attend. We get more done in that meeting maybe than a lot of other ones that we do. Budget resource management, you just heard our budget's in good shape. We reported on quite a bit of additional funding coming in, so we're real happy to be in that situation moving into next year. Our review cycle for our inventory. We have established that review cycle. We're going to inventory about a third of our classrooms annually. So we'll announce that at our back to school staff meeting each year, then give those folks the list of this is what we've got on your asset list. Everybody else, make sure you got your stuff, but you, the third of you guys, we're actually going to come out and we're going to walk the room with you, and we're going to point and touch all of the stuff to make sure things aren't walking away, and we're taking good care of our resources. Al and the team has gone out and physically tagged all of our high value assets that we have in all the classrooms. So we have our CCA tags on there. The nice foil tags are real hard to get off. So everything has been marked and tagged. So that process is in place and will be active for the start of next school year. D, I'm going to skip over D because we just spent a good deal of time talking about all the different pieces that are coming in from the different grants. Move on to community engagement. Kim, feel free to jump in on this one. Kim does a lot of this work as well. You can see we brought in some new partners for our kiddos, the hospitals especially, leaning on them for internship and job shadowing opportunities. Real excited about the Laguna expansion because we don't have a lot over that way, so that'll be great to have that. As you can see, Memorial Care, we're just kind of at a paperwork with those guys. They're willing, they're able. We're just trying to get the paperwork taken care of. Yeah, big corporations move super, super slow on stuff like this. Providence Mission, we had our kiddos did our first full rotation with our kids out there. It went really well. That was quite a task to get that put together as well. Kim did a great job getting that all tied up and moving forward for the first time.
Do we have anything with Hogue? They're so aggressive. They're weirdly aggressive. Like they with our communications department, they wanted to during COVID, they wanted to be the go-to. They were on the Zoom call. They were out front. I felt they were very competitive or something was happening. So like with Ryan, all of a sudden it's like, wait, why is Hogue here? We should have Mission. You know, like our people live here. So the same token, I don't know if they're,
I've gotten several of the places, city, like the Memorial group reached out to us, and then I've had several meetings with them, but then it's really slow.
Yeah.
Hogue has not been one that has really...
But it's weird because every time we want to do a parent night or something, they're like, "Oh, they will be here from Hope."
Yeah.
Maybe check with Ryan. He was telling me where they were coming from.
Yeah, we reached out to him for the career fair. We didn't get a response from him then.
It's really hard when you if you don't get the right connection with this group, you just can't get forward. And I got we got a really good connection. They wanted, and then that person just left. I'm like, no.
Well,
like,
I know that one of our families in the district, Galbraith, isn't he president of Hogue Hospital?
Mm-hmm.
And he is a family.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It goes right to the top.
I can reach out to Hogue, but I've really been worn out by these other views because they imagine. Really, they don't, they just move so slow.
They do, and they totally don't speak school.
Yeah.
So like for Mission, we had to get all this information from our kids. And we had to upload it into a third-party company that Mission uses to certify their people. So they forced us into their employee certification.
And then they wouldn't return emails. And so then I had to collect all of it myself.
Right.
Yeah. I literally had to get everybody's TB test,
so
everybody's
it's not even dealing with Mission
record.
Anymore.
Me,
it's dealing
personally
with a third
get party. Every single student's all of these things. They have to do a background check. They had to do all these things.
Yes.
I had to collect it because I really wanted to get this thing started and get it all in there. And still, when we finally, after the fact, got up and running with this other outside group.
But the Kaiser partnership is still
strong. Kaiser is still strong. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the original.
Yeah, that's the They're still good and still going out every week.
Yep. So B, the next item there is utilizing our current partners. So we've already talked about expanding into Laguna with our Mission contacts there. We had interns with TIS here in CUSD this year, and a couple of them did really, really great, and a couple of them not so much. So it's a good learning curve, both for us and for our teachers
and
for the kids.
Here, so
So. We had one kiddo that was from the outside. He took one of our classes but wasn't a CUSD student. He was a homeschool student. And we got him all set up and ready to go, and he came once, and then we never saw him again. So some silly things like that happen.
Oh,
so,
it's a kid.
Yeah, it was,
what is TIS?
Technology. Information services
IT.
Here. Yeah, IT department here.
Yeah, no, they always call it TIS.
Yep. And then we had several meetings with the M&O and looking to get some kids there, and Some of the trades balked a little bit about it. So I know John was continuing to have those conversations. He's all for it and wants to make it happen. It's just, I think we just need some more time to talk with the trades guys and kind of get them on board, because they really want somebody coming from one of the union shops, and they're looking for, you know, kids that they can turn into journeymen and you know, get it going to really keep it going. They don't quite have the full vision yet of how a K-12 student intern could actually turn into that person. So we gotta paint that picture for them a little bit first. Some are a little rough around the collar, and they're looking for an adult.
Did you ever get any movement from that guy, the optics guy that?
No, and we had some trouble with his credential, just from a recency perspective and things like that. And yeah, it'd been more than 10 years since he'd been actively employed and actually doing it. So we got some pushback on that, and yeah, it just wasn't the right time. I won't say it wasn't the right fit, because I think it could be, but it just didn't work out to this time.
Is there a place for our students and our in the transportation? And
that was one of the ones that kind of pumped
really,
the brakes on us.
Because they have the big, beautiful shop.
Yeah.
And of course, we don't have any bus drivers. I mean, that's our biggest challenge.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, to drive a bus, maybe still go on to a community college or whatever. Mm-hmm. If there's anything we could do to help.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, John's all in. John's 100% behind it and wants to see it happen. It's just, I think we just need to make a focus out of it and really hit it good next year. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, everybody's threatened by their jobs.
Yeah, that's a piece of it as well. Yeah, for sure. next one, you know, industry partners. We have our annual industry advisory, so we held our advisory again this year at Capitol Valley. It was well attended. Had industry partners from all of our sectors that we invited. All were there. They gave some great feedback to our teachers, so we continue to incorporate their thoughts where appropriate. And we'll continue to do that every year. Don't ever seem to have a problem getting folks to want to come and be a part of things. And a renewed sense of interest amongst our chambers as well. Our pathway coordinator has been doing a lot of work with the chambers, and we're going to actually look at pulling together the chamber presidents to have a meeting to really share with them what it is that we do, so that we can have some more ambassadors on the business side of the world about what it is that we have going on here in
Susie
the district.
Susie Lance down in San Clemente is just such a...
Yeah, they've been a good go-getter. They've been a good partner.
Yeah,
they've been a good partner.
San Clemente has the best chamber.
Yeah.
They're actually holding one of their meetings at our adult campus coming up here in a couple of weeks.
She's amazing.
Yeah. Marketing strategies, you can see the list. I won't run through the list because we've pretty well talked about most of these at one point or another today in our meeting, but we continue to hold our events and get our name out there as much as possible, and always looking to create new things, new ways for CCA to be viewed in a good light and be out and about in the community. So we're always real pleased with how our events come together. Everybody always goes away very complimentary with us. And then board policies, we'll continue to look at policies and do those reviews as necessary. That's something that Kathy stays up on top of really well for us. So that's my presentation of the movement and the things that we've done as related to the organizational goals that were approved by the board for this year.
Can we have a motion and a second to discuss the resolution?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, this is for the year-end internal transfers. It's a routine item.
Yeah.
Transfer within budget.
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And then a motion and a second to discuss the calendar.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, so it's...
Ours needs to be changed.
Oh, yours does?
Oh.
Yeah, we changed it.
Oh,
we
you did.
We revised the calendar for next year. I don't know if I'm going to be correct, but our welcome back breakfast is Tuesday the 20th, so I believe we're starting on Thursday the 22nd.
Mm.
And then we have a full week off of Thanksgiving.
Oh, you do have a full week off?
And then we will not be having the January 6th Pupil Free Day. That's now on Friday, January 17th.
Oh.
But you can double check all that.
So we need to get a
with
copy.
Victoria.
Yeah,
I will.
At our last meeting.
Okay.
Change the next 2 years.
Okay. We'll get that updated
primarily
then.
Primarily
bring it back.
Thursday start and fully get Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And move that
one day after. But even though we start on Thursday, CCA can still start that following Monday, right?
Well, Well, they start on the 20th, on Tuesday the 20th, and we will be starting on Thursday the 22nd. But this calendar would have had us starting, you know, next week.
Right.
So we need to adjust the Laguna dates to match up. Because we don't want to have some kids come to school, nobody else come to school, or vice versa.
Yeah, nice.
Okay, so we'll bring this back in September for approval? Okay. And then a motion to discuss the biannual review of the Conflict of Interest Code.
So moved.
Second.
No discussion.
No discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, then can we have a motion and a second to go over the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second.
Does anyone have anything to pull?
I don't have any items to pull.
I don't.
No.
Okay, so we'll do a roll call vote for the consent. So, Amy Hanicek?
Aye.
Trustee Parham?
Aye.
Trustee Perry?
Aye.
Trustee Pritchard?
Aye.
Trustee Vickers?
Aye.
Okay. A motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Second.
Okay.
Aye. Nobody's opposed.
Yeah. Yeah, we always agree on.